This week on The Inswinger.
They're just architects of their own downfall again and again. Yeah, Arsenal did cause them a lot of problems, so I want to give them credit. But City, easy to play through again.
Bubble could have burst. It didn't. They look to be back on track. I mean, the Champions League has to be the goal.
I'm really suspect about Bruno in this system. He's not disciplined enough to play in the pivot.
We'll get into the others. They brought in Rashford and Asensio, who can both play off the flanks. I'm going to give them an A-. Welcome back to the Inswinger Podcast, Season 4, Episode 15. I'm Charlie DiMatteo, joined alongside
Harrison McGlashan.
The end of the January transfer window has come. Some big results across, up and down the Premier League table this past weekend. A couple big wins. Nottingham Forest put up a touchdown. Arsenal with a statement win over a languishing Man City team. And Everton flying high with another 4-0 win. Another game where they led 3-0 at halftime. So we're going to get into all of that, as well as grading each team's January transfer window. Always a tricky time, the January transfer window. No one really likes to do business, but if you can do business, it can really give your season a boost. But let's start with a team, Nottingham Forest, who's doing the business right now, right off the bat, 7-0. A huge bounce-back win, really, after they lost 5-0 away to Bournemouth. Harrison, what does that show you about Nuno and his group, that they're able to not just come back from their biggest loss of the season, but to do it in such an impressive fashion against Brighton, who aren't a bad team?
No mugs, no, as we were saying off-air before. I think Forest, just in general this season, have been a lesson in playing to your strengths. You know, Nuno tweaked the shape, but they're still, you know, they go home and away every week and, you know, play a way that's effective on the counterattack with speed, with clinical finishing. And listen, 7-0, I mean, it's an absolute clinic. Mm. And it's not like they show up and try to dominate the ball and play tiki-taka and do all this. Bournemouth caught them out last week in sort of a fluky result. They come back and nothing changes. And I have to credit Nuno there for sticking with the message that's worked for them all season, with the same sort of core of players. And listen, they're just fantastic. I mean, so lethal on the counterattack. I mean, they take their chances. I know I keep saying it every week with Forest, but that's always the takeaway for me with them, is how clinical they are, the pace at which they go forward with. And it's a simple game they play. You know, they don't overcomplicate it, and it's gotten them to third in the league. So fair play. They're solid from back to front. They played with three center backs. It worked really well. Brighton, you know, I think they were off their game a little bit, but I mean, the back line of Brighton, they caused them havoc, really. They wreaked havoc up there with Elanga, Wood, Williams at wing back, I thought did really well. So fantastic stuff again from Forest, who, you know, after that result, I think we both kind of thought maybe their bubble burst a little bit. Not the case. Just not the case. They proved that on Saturday. They were, again, just fantastic.
Yeah, and I'm stating the obvious here. I think it's their most significant result of the season, because they've had some big wins. They beat Liverpool away. But I think to respond to a 5-0 defeat in this manner shows a real belief from Nuno in the way he's playing, like you said, but also in the players. They trust in Nuno. They know what's got them here. They don't want to pivot away from that given one bad result. And that's really hard to do for a mid-table team, because with a mid-table team, you get the temptation. You want to tinker. You want to make some tweaks to maybe, you know, solve what went wrong. They went right back to what they do best. And what an emphatic way they did it. I mean, Chris Wood, again, what more can you say about him? This renaissance, they signed him to a contract. He's looked phenomenal. Score 7 goals? I mean, you've had some great Arsenal teams these past couple years. They haven't put up 7 goals. I mean,
no.
Man City, maybe they've done it. It's put 8 past United, I remember. Liverpool have done it. But, I mean, 7 goals.
7 is unbelievable.
It's unreal. So, well, obviously, a lot of credit has to go to them. And that should give them a bit of confidence going into the end of the season, because it looked like, for a bit at least, that, like you said, bubble could have burst. It didn't. They look to be back on track. And, I mean, Champions League has to be the goal. They tried to make some moves in January, didn't really. They sent back Ward-Prowse to West Ham and wasn't really featuring at all for them. So, obviously, we'll keep an eye on Forest. Massive result. I woke up to it and was like, what?
Yeah.
Like, it was crazy. All right, another big result, another big scoreline. This one in North London, Arsenal and City, the two teams who have been battling it out at the top of the Premier League table. Obviously, this is a Man City team who are not at their best. That being said, they had some players back in the team. It wasn't necessarily, you know, a jumbled 11. You know, Stones was back. Holland was there. He scored. But Arsenal were just too good. They took the early lead after the mistake from Gvardiol. Man City did equalize early in the second half, but Partey came back right away. Lewis Skelly with a lovely finish. Nwaneri got a goal as well, and it was an unbelievable display from Arsenal. Begs the question for City, was that Chelsea win, the new signings, is that all a bit smoke and mirrors as to where they really are? Do they still have a ways to go in the top four? What did you make of this result?
Yeah, I mean, more of the same for City. I mean, they're just architects of their own downfall again and again. Yeah, Arsenal, you know, did cause them a lot of problems, so I want to give them credit. But City, easy to play through again. You look at the midfields on paper, I know who I fancy. Rice, Partey, and Odegaard versus Kovacic, Bernardo, and, you know, Foden sort of as a 10. I'm sorry, but the Arsenal midfield is going to outmuscle you any day of the week. Yeah. So could have seen that coming. Mistakes at the back has really been the glaring issue for them over the past few weeks. Champions League, Premier League, just giving the ball to Arsenal in really dangerous areas. It's sloppy. It's really sloppy. Teams that press are causing them problems. Mm. And I'm surprised Pep hasn't tried to sort that out. Maybe he has, but it's just they're really struggling to cope with high-pressing teams. So he needs to have a think about that, because that's what teams are good at now. Your Newcastles, your Brightons, your Bournemouths, they press really well. And City, despite all the talent they have from back to front, don't look like they can play through it. They look more, they look less comfortable on the ball, panicked at times. I'm thinking of Kanji and Stones and sort of the hospital passes they made, which led to Arsenal chances. Nunez at right back again, not really doing it. The attack, we saw a really nice bit of play for the goal, and they were in the game, I thought, for a while, but they let themselves down. They really let themselves down. The game plan was correct from Arteta and Arsenal to put them under pressure, and it worked. And Pep, and this isn't the first team that's gone to City, or, you know, City have gone to, that has done this to them, you know? So they just look a bit rattled at times at the back, especially, and it's concerning. It's a pattern, and that's really the problem. This isn't a one-off.
Yeah, and it's something that Pep's not used to as a manager. Things have always kind of been smooth sailing. There's a routine he gets in where they can just grind out results, and he's not even really searching for a solution, because like you said, it's the same things causing them issues week in and week out. So I think my question would be to Pep, you know, is he just kind of waiting for Rodri to return, and that will kind of sort everything out? I think there's a world where that's the case. I think Rodri's that good, and where he plays tactically will set them up for success. I think he offers so much security to the back line. He offers so much protection within the midfield to allow the creative players like Bernardo to get on the ball, like Kovacic to influence the play in the final third. And without him, you're asking Kovacic to do things he's not comfortable with. You're asking Bernardo to drop deep. You're asking, all of a sudden, Nunez is out of position. That's a questionable signing, I think, Mateus Nunez. I appreciate he's not playing in his position, but things
I haven't
just
seen enough from him.
No,
at City,
Wolves,
sure.
I think he was the backup plan. They submitted a bid for Lucas Paquetá for upwards of $80 million, and then the betting scandal came in, and it scared them off. And Paquetá really hasn't been back to his best. That's still looming, so they went and signed Nunez, and he's never really looked like a top tier Man City player. And we'll see with these new signings. They spent another $60 million since last week on this guy. I'm forgetting his name.
The guy who they sent back to Lens?
Yes.
Yeah. Forgot his name too, but I know who you're talking about. The center back.
The center back. Yeah. Whatever. They're not afraid to spend money, which I think is interesting given the way the charges are creeping up on them. I feel like that trial is supposed to, or hearing, whatever it's called. I feel like we're supposed to get some kind of news on that soon. They guess, feel confident the way they're spending money like crazy. It's unreal. In January, I mean, 218 million euros spent this January. And the Lord knows they've got issues because they're quite the dysfunctional team right now. That being said, they're still well in the top four race. I think there's very clearly a world where they get Champions League football. They've got an incredibly tough draw in the knockout playoffs. They've got Madrid. What a tie that's going to be in this knockout new format for them. So we'll see maybe if they put their eye on that or if they want to focus on qualifying. So issues aplenty for Pep Guardiola and Man City, not a position he's familiar with whatsoever given his career track record. All right, let's move on to Everton, who are flying high under David Moyes. A 4-0 victory over Leicester City, who, you know, had been crap, beat Spurs, went to Everton, and, I mean, what was it, 12 seconds, something like that?
10 seconds.
10 seconds.
Yeah.
Decore got a goal, and it was smooth sailing for Moises' boys from there. What did you make of the big win for the Blues?
Yeah, huge. Leicester could not live with us. They couldn't cope with the long ball literally from 10 seconds in, and the counterattacking play, and Betso and Garner, literally everyone. That's more like it. That's how I want to see this team play, especially at home. I thought David Moyes, I have to give him huge credit for playing to Beto's strengths. He's a different profile than Calvert-Lewin, and we played him in behind because the guy wants to stretch his legs. He wants to run, and he did that, and he got two goals. So it was much better than sort of the Dyche era in terms of chance creation with seven big chances, much better in terms of expected goals with over two. We could have scored six, really. You know, Moyes has got us playing just at a better pace, really, at Goodison. Better on the counterattack. We look like a more dynamic team. We don't look like a team that wants to hide. And I think that is a bit of a criticism I had with Dyche at the end. We didn't look like we wanted to go for it. We didn't look like we were comfortable with the ball, attacking. So I think Moyes has really turned that around. We're not afraid to attack. And that's the way it should be. You know, that, you know, I don't need to see a team with over 50% of the ball. I just want to see a team that is ambitious, that wants to go forward, that's confident in themselves, and that's fearless. And I think that's more of what we saw on Saturday. So that's really, really positive. And at the back, it's been steady. Listen, I know the wins, you know, Brighton away was a good win. I didn't think we were brilliant, but we got the job done. Leicester and Spurs are really struggling. And, you know, I think that those are teams that we should and can beat. So, you know, fair enough. I'm trying not to get my hopes up here, but the early signs are really positive. We lost Mangala last week. We got Garner in, so kind of a one-for-one there. Charlie Alcaraz is coming in. We can maybe talk about that in the transfer section, but we've got some players here. He's got a little bit to work with. I think he would have liked another attacking option in the window, but we can get to the end of the season, I think, comfortably ahead of the drop. I think that should be the goal. I think that is the goal, and that's where we are now. We're, what is it, 9 points clear of Leicester now with a game in hand, albeit against Liverpool. We're 1 point behind West Ham and Spurs, who, you know, are much better teams on paper than Everton. So we're 7 clear of Wolves. So listen, we're where we should be. 3 wins on the spin. It's given us some breathing room. It's I think the players can, you know, it takes a little bit of the pressure off, but hopefully the intensity stays up where it has been the past 3 games. They've been really focused at both ends of the pitch. So that's been good to see. I have to say, I didn't, after, you know, after the initial Villa game where it was a bit more of the same and we couldn't really attack well, I wasn't, you know, expecting this kind of a turnaround, 3 wins on the spin. So I'm bullish, man. I'm psyched for Moyes. I'm happy for Beto. And, you know, long may it continue, because if we keep doing this and playing like this on the counterattack, with playing to our strengths, it's what I said about Forest. I think earlier in the season I said Forest are really just a much better version of Everton. So if we can start to sort of emulate our game, you know, sort of a little bit like what they do with our players, then why not? You know, why can't we be comfortable this season?
Yeah, and that's a key word, comfortable. I think the breathing space is an important thing, because for so long there's just been the dark cloud looming, whether it's PSR issues or lack of form or injuries. It hasn't felt like there's been like a clean slate, and obviously that clean slate's coming with the new stadium. But the opening results, while you don't want to get too carried away, I think there's something to be said that it will allow for the players to breathe a bit more freely, to express themselves a bit more, maybe not play as tense. And I think you're seeing that in both boxes. I think you guys are seeing a much more confident defense and a much more confident front line. I mean, say what you like by the opposition, you guys are scoring goals, and you guys were not doing that under Sean Dyche. So I think David Moyes has brought that stability, and it's allowed the Everton players to just play with a bit more freedom and loosen up a bit, because it's been such a tense few years. It's exactly what Everton needed to avoid the drop this year, which they look set to do somewhat comfortably. All right, let's move on to the transfer window review. We're going to go through all 20 teams and give them a grade. We're going to do it in alphabetical order, just a bit random. Let's start with Arsenal. They're right up there.
Not much to write home about.
There isn't, but I think that's a discussion in and of itself.
Yeah.
I think there were moves to be made. I don't know the ins and outs of their finances. I don't know how much money they could have spent on an Ollie Watkins or a Sesko.
Yeah, they tried it.
They did. Arsenal fans didn't love it, though, because it was kind of it seemed like a PR move. Villa were never going to accept that deal after they sold Duran on, like, the last days of the window. So, for that reason, I'm giving I mean, we can talk about the scale. I'm hesitant to give them anything above a C.
Yeah, I mean, you can't. I mean, they brought no one in. They sort of tried to bring a striker, but failed. And you know, if they don't throw in any bids all window, you're like, okay, they're going to stick with what they got till the summer. I kind of get it. The market's really tough. You don't want to go spunking hundreds of million. Teams don't want to sell. But the Ollie Watkins thing was really odd to me. It feels like they were on the lookout for deals if they were there, but they weren't really married to anything. I don't know. That bid felt a bit panicky. And, you know, we know they need players, but I don't want to judge them on, you know, just not signing any because of the market. Because like you said, the finances are, you know, a story that we don't really know about. Is it really going to make a difference in the league chase? I'm not sure, to be honest.
You don't think if they sign, let's say they sign Ollie Watkins, do you think he gets them significantly closer to Liverpool?
I think he gets them closer, but I'm not sure they catch them this season. So, listen, if you can get Ollie Watkins, you get him. But that was just never the case. So, I didn't want to see any panic buys is kind of what I'm getting at. I don't think Ollie Watkins is a panic buy, but it just seemed like a strange thing to do because, like, you know, Villa are just not going to – they're not going to do that deal in January, let alone in the summer.
Well, they might have if they hadn't sold Duran.
Right.
The day before.
The timing was so weird.
It was bizarre.
So, I don't know. I'm with you. It's C-.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Kind of strange.
The more of the story is kind of Arsenal. I think there's a case to be made that because City aren't where we expected them to be, we all thought if they weren't, well, if City don't win the league, it's Arsenal, and it's not.
Yeah.
And they're not totally out of it. So if you're gambling that City next year are going to be back at full strength and they're going to be really hard to beat, you might as well go for it now, which they didn't do. So I can see some frustration from Arsenal fans. But again, January, it's not easy to do business, so we'll give them somewhat of a pass, but still not impressive. Villa, I think, have had one of the best windows in the league. Daniel Malen came in, 25 years of age, from Dortmund. He can score goals. He's coming in as kind of that Duran replacement, who I fancy to play that role a bit better.
You think he's going to play up front?
Malen?
Yeah.
I think he can.
Yeah.
Whether he plays
versatile,
off the left.
Versatile, isn't he?
But, yeah. I mean, they brought in, we'll get into the others, they brought in Rashford and Asensio, who can both play off the flanks.
Yeah.
So that they're bolstering the squad, which I think I've needed bolstering. I'm going to give them an A-. I think they're in a position where they're dealing with Champions League football. I think Asensio is astute. I can see him nicking a goal in the Champions League. He loved that competition when he was at Madrid. Hasn't set the world light at PSG.
Yeah.
And Rashford, man, if you can get the best out of him, I think he can really push them up the table in the league. They needed depth. They needed players, and they got, I think, some smart deals.
Yeah,
I like Villa's window.
They don't have a ton of wingers, and I'm really curious to see what Emery does, because he's seemed very content playing a McGinn or a Ramsey kind of off the left, and it's worked really well in this sort of hybrid 4-4-2 he plays. Now he's got, like you said, options. He's got Malen, who can kind of play across the front line. Rashford, we know, wants to play on the left, but I think there's a world in which he plays minutes up front because they lost Duran. So he's got a few versatile attackers. Same with Asensio. I'm with you. I like an A-. I think, you know, an out-and-out striker maybe would have been a better profile than a Rashford, but let's see what they do with him. I don't want to judge too early. My gut is that something about Rashford doesn't feel right in the long term. I think it's worth a punt, for sure, because it's a loan deal. But
he's 27 now.
Yeah, I don't know. Something about it, I'm not quite convinced that.
Behind the scenes, something has gone wrong at United, whether it's his training or personality. There's no reason a player at his best like Marcus Rashford shouldn't be featuring for Amram right now. So
correct. Yeah. We'll see. Let's see what Emery can do with him. I don't know. I can't quite put my finger on why I don't love it, but as a straight up loan, totally worth it. You're in the Champions League. You're playing against multiple competitions. Throw him out on the left. See what he can do. You don't have a ton of, you know, out and out wingers. Is it going to work in the long run? I'm going to put my money on no. But let's see.
And there's also the transfer outside of things. They got good money for Duran,
who
was scoring big goals for them, but that dynamic between him and Watkins was always a bit of a selection headache. Now they can recoup a big fee. I mean, they spent, I think, $15 million on him when they bought him from Chicago Fire. He's still only 21, so, I mean, we'll talk. I just want to give my thoughts briefly on Duran. You know, people are going to criticize him. I get it. He can go to Saudi for 5 years, make a boatload of money, and then come back to Europe for his prime years. Will he be the same player after spending 5 years in the Saudi Pro League? I don't know. But he's so young that I think he still has some time ahead of him.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I would have loved to have seen him in Europe, but it's just how can we sit here and just lay it on the kid for taking that amount of money? I mean, he's come from Colombia. He's come from the MLS. Like, you know, if I was in his shoes, I don't know if I could sit here and say, like, oh, I'd definitely go to West Ham you know, when you could get that much money, you know? And you're right. He could always come back. So, and I hope he does because he's a fun player to watch.
Yeah. All right, Bournemouth up next. The one big sign—I don't want to say big. I can add some insight here. Eli Junior Krupe they signed from Lorient.
Mm.
West Ham bid $35 million for him.
Yeah,
and they got him for $10 million because Bournemouth own Lorient. The owner who owns Bournemouth owns Lorient. I mean, like,
that's sketchy.
How is that allowed?
Yeah.
I mean, from a business perspective, I get like they're turning down like £25 million from West Ham. So they're losing that money, but they're keeping him in the system. It's a bit sketchy. I mean, I don't know much about him. He's 18 years old, striker. You're seemingly buying him for the future. The other guys they brought in, Julio Soler, left back. I don't know him.
Kid from DC United.
Too much. Yeah. Yes. But yeah, it's a bit sketch from Bournemouth. I'm gonna give him.
That seems like something the Premier League should be flagging.
A C plus. I think he could be a good player, but
they needed a striker, right? Because Evan Nielsen's had injury problems, and they got one. So I don't know. Yeah.
C plus. Slightly above average. Fine. We'll see how he turns out. A little salty. That's just me. All right, Brentford. A couple signings here.
Not too much, but loans. A right back.
Yeah, a right back. Michael Coyote from Fiorentina. Don't know much about him. 20 years of age.
They don't need much, though, do they?
No, you kind of know what you're going to get from Brentford. They didn't need to do much. And they didn't do much, but they did a couple things. So I'll give them a B.
I'm okay with B, yeah.
Brighton, we know they're always a bit active in the window. Spent another $25 million on a guy I just don't know a lot about. Stefano Simas.
Another center forward.
From Nuremberg. And
we got a lot of guys who can play up front, it seems like.
I want to trust Brighton's recruitment, but the guys they spent good money in the summer. None of them have really set the world alight. They're young. They're going to take time, I think, to adapt to the Premier League.
Have they sent the guy out on loan? Simas?
Did they?
I think they might have sent him back to Nuremberg.
Yes, they did.
But still, okay, that's the business we're talking about. And then, another midfielder from Inter Miami. I mean, I don't know any of these guys, so I'm not going to sit here and say they're all great or not, but... Okay. Brighton didn't. I don't think Brighton needed much either. To be honest,
I think you're kind of where they expect to be. And they had a bad result, but they're having overall.
We kind of give them what we gave Brentford.
Yeah,
right?
B. Yeah, didn't do much. Didn't need to. Chelsea. This is always a mouthful in January. They sent a bunch of guys out on loan. They brought back Trevor Chalobah, which is probably the most significant business they did. I mean, if you're Chalobah, the beginning of the season, you're a Chelsea lad through and through. Maresca says, nah, don't really fancy you. Mm. And then he's back, and he's playing, and he's an important guy. I mean, mentally, what kind of headspace is he in? I don't know.
I mean, I have to give huge credit to Chalobah because he's put his head down and he's played really well, which is, you know, easier said than done given his situation, which you just described. So I've always liked him. I think he's good enough to play for Chelsea 100%. And I think he's proved that already. I think he's been great. So, I mean, I guess they needed a center back. They kind of swapped. They got rid of De Sassi and then Chalobah's back. You know what? You shouldn't have gotten rid of Chalobah in the first place and bought in De Sassi. It's just stupid. I hate when clubs do this. Yeah. It's like the City thing with Marmoush and you had Alvarez.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I don't think he was itching to leave. No. I don't think Chalobah was itching to leave. So, I don't know. I hope they've learned their lesson, but... Yeah, I mean, he's good. Felix has gone out.
What about Joao Felix?
Too.
I mean, they had him on loan, brought him in permanently, hasn't really done it. No. They're sending him out on loan. I mean, what are you going to do with him?
Why do that? Well, I'll tell you why they did the deal, obviously. Conor Gallagher, to get that through the door.
Yeah.
So I can't believe I'm sitting here saying, oh, they just bought another player so they could sell a player. Like, oh, yeah, I wish we had that luxury. You know what I mean? Wish every team could just
a different
buy
game.
One for the sake of it. Yeah, I mean, Joao Felix, we all know, you know, he's a talented guy, but where does he play and what does he do enough? I don't know.
I bet the output will be there in Milan. I mean, look at what Pulisic has done there. He's been their best player this year, and he's did okay at Chelsea.
Joao Felix, there's always a weird thing where, like, He's one of these guys who probably is best in kind of just a free role behind the striker, and not a lot of teams do that, you know? So it, because not a lot of teams can afford to just have a luxury player like João Félix. Yeah. Like, yeah, he's fun to watch, but is he worth having? I just don't know. Well, let's see how he does at Milan.
Right, so what do you want to give Chelsea here?
Chelsea, I mean, I guess they got rid of him, and they got rid of Chukwuemeka too, and Vega. So they've whittled down the squad. They brought in a midfielder. I mean, Chalobah back. Yeah, I guess.
I was going to say B.
I was going to say, yeah, B minus. B is fair. I think B is fair. I'm just salty because they're Chelsea and they always do business. But B is fair, I think.
All right, Crystal Palace, interesting here. Mm. Big loss. I mean, right here, they lost Chalobah to Chelsea. Didn't bring in a center back.
No.
This Roman-esque guy, I mean, Palace have a brilliant record of buying in the championship. This guy looks like another one from Millwall. Looks really bright, scored on his debut. I like that deal. I like Chilwell, if you can say
fit. I like Chilwell,
But, like,
because they've got Tariq Mitchell, so there's not a ton of pressure.
Mitchell. That's the thing. I rate Mitchell. So do you really need Chilwell there? I don't know. With that system, could he play? Could one of them play, like, as part of a back three with Gabe?
Maybe, I don't know.
Maybe
that's the plan. Because Mitchell is a defensively-minded kind of guy.
Yes.
And Chilwell, we've seen him at wing back. I mean, I think he's great.
He could play left midfield. I don't know. I do feel for them, though, with this Chalobah deal. It's tough in a position like Palace because that was a smart loan. He was doing well for them, and they just didn't really have the funds or time to replace him. Chelsea was like, I want him back, and that was that.
Yeah, I really like Roman Essay, man. I'm giving them a
really
B+.
Good. Yeah, I like him. He reminds me a lot of Elise, Eze, Essay.
Somebody said he's a combination of Elise and Essay.
And Ebiowe. I mean, all these right wingers from the championship they seem to bring in seem to do well. So, yeah. I'll give it a B+. I like that from Palace. Yeah. All right, Everton. Carlos Alcaraz, not the tennis player.
No.
He's brought in. He was at
Southampton. Yeah.
Did all right.
Yeah, he was sneaky.
You guys needed to bring someone in.
We needed something.
With Mangala going out. So hopeful for him?
I'm hopeful. He's an attacking-minded midfielder, which is something we really don't have seen Decore in that role. I've voiced concerns about him on and off the air. He's just not – he doesn't have the finesse to play as a number 10, I don't think. So I'd love to see him play in behind Beto and Calvert-Lewin and Broja if he ever comes back. I think that's a position we definitely need. I would have liked to have seen a right winger come in because I think Lindstrom is maybe not super natural out there as a right footer who kind of wants to drift inside. But you can't have it all. We got something in. I'm sure Moyes would have liked more, so I don't want to give it too highly. I would say B- because I think we still could have used maybe a left back and a right winger. But we kind of got one out of three, I would say. And in January, that's okay. And we're 9 points clear. So, yeah, I'm okay with B-. I think that's fair.
Fulham up next. No one in, no one out. I don't really know what to say to that. They rejected a bid for Muniz from West Ham. We were in for him. They weren't going to let him go anywhere mid-season.
I'm glad you didn't get Muniz.
You like him?
No. I think I could just – he screams a player that gets a move and flops.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, West Ham striker curse. Hopefully we'll get to the guy we did sign. Whether if he does well, we'll break it. He's on loan. We'll get to him in a second. I think you're right.
You know what I mean? Like a mini Fernando Torres situation. Yeah. Like, oh, he goes up a level and he just stinks.
I mean, I'll be honest here. Fulham are it's not really going up a lot to go to West Ham. Yeah. I guess it's a bigger club, bigger stadium. Yeah, maybe you get Europe in a couple of years, but yeah. Fulham, I get C.
Yeah, you can't give them anything.
Whatever, they're having a good season.
Yeah.
Ipswich, interesting here.
So interesting.
Philogene, that was a bizarre one in the summer because of what happened with Villa. They let him go, they bring him back, now they let him go. They paid good money for him. Godfrey on loan has Premier League experience. Julio Enciso has had bright spots at Brighton, and he's still only 21 years of age. Didn't really let anyone go here, Ipswich. I think this is a B+, maybe even an A-. They're doing what they can with limited funds to stay in the Premier League.
Yeah, I don't know how they're doing it, but they're doing it. I think Philogene's really good. Wanted him at Everton. Godfrey, I've seen plenty of him in an Everton shirt. He's a steady Premier League player. He's fine. For Ipswich, he's on loan, but I was going to say he could be one of those guys that goes down with them and tries to come back, but he's good. And Enciso, a sensational signing. Mm. He's really good, Enciso. Yeah. I mean, remember a couple seasons ago. So, I mean, listen, they got a pretty decent attack. Everybody stays fit. You're thinking Hutchinson, Delap, Enciso, Philogene, Broadhead's done okay. Jack Clark is highly rated. Like, I think there's enough there. I'm looking at the deeper midfield, the back line, I'm not sure they can.
As Calvin Phillips,
I'm not sure they can stop shipping goals, which has kind of been a problem. I've never been a Murich fan, to be honest. but yeah, I mean, listen, they're giving it a good go. I would say, what did you say, B plus?
I said B plus.
Yeah,
I think that's good.
I think that's good.
Leicester, not the most inspiring window. Koulibaly, Suter, and Tom Cannon, a whopping $3 million spent. They loaned out Chaudhry, sold Tom Cannon to Sheffield United in the Championship. So if anything, they got a bit
weaker.
They
brought him back and let him go. I think they're crap, to be honest. I would say not enough given what they have.
C minus, D.
Yeah, I think C minus.
Yeah. I mean, we don't really know what funds they have, but not good. Liverpool, I mean, top of the league, sitting pretty. These are just loans here. Didn't really bring in anyone of note, so I guess we give them a C.
I'm good with C. They don't need anything.
Yeah. Here we go. Man City, 218 million euros. Let's go through this. Omar Marmoush from Frankfurt, 75 million euros. Nico Gonzalez from Porto for 60 million euros. Kushanov, the center back from Lens, 40 million euros. Vitor Reich from Palmeiras, 37 million euros. I mean, Juma Ba, a guy from Valladolid who they loaned, I think they're going to loan him out to Lens, who you were talking about. But yeah, I mean, Nico Gonzalez, he's the center midfielder I was talking about. 60 million they spent on him this past weekend. I mean, this is an expensive window for a summer, let alone January. And there's no net spend to balance this out. There's no Alvarez going the other. I mean, I guess that was in the summer, so it all comes due. But
Kyle Walker out the door on loan.
Yes. I mean, what grade do you give Man City here? I mean, they definitely tried.
Yeah, jury's out a little bit on the signings, but they've done it. So, I mean, I don't know. I know I'm sort of talking in a negative tone, but how can you not give him an A-? They signed three center backs, two of which are going back. Marmoush up front, a midfielder. That's kind of what they needed. It's so tough to find an out-and-out destroyer defensive midfielder. I mean, a lot of teams are playing with a double pivot now to just, Liverpool. I mean, Arsenal kind of don't, but they've got the physicality to cope because Rice, is so good from box to box. But, your Fulhams, your Bournemouths, your Brightons, they don't really have...
That's what makes Rodri so unique.
And even Chelsea sort of play with Fernandes and or Lavia alongside Caicedo, and then Palmer gets a free roll. So they don't really... You're seeing less of a single pivot and more of a double pivot. So it's so hard to recruit, just your out-and-out sitting... You're basically a Rodri.
You can't find a B-Tech Rodri.
Exactly.
They don't exist.
So... I'm not sure it solves the issue in that they're going to completely turn things around this season, but in the long run, they've got some young players, they've got someone who can play with and instead of Haaland, hopefully, so yeah, in the long run, I think it looks good.
It looks like they're stocking up on young talent.
Yeah, they're going to need to rebuild, I think. I think we're at that point where... A lot of their players are aging out across the pitch.
It's
so,
interesting that they're kind of approaching it in January, though.
That's what's weird.
You don't wait until the summer. These guys are preseason. Get some guys out the door and really have a look at the team. I mean, I trust Man City, but like Cheeky's on his way out. I mean, does he? I know that the vision is there, but we'll see how this shakes out. It's a lot of money to spend on some risky guys, given their transfer value and then what they paid, especially. So we'll take an eye on that. Man United brought in a left wing back / left back, Patrick Dorgu from Lecce, 30 million euros. Seems like he was the guy they wanted, got. We'll see if he's up to the task.
Yeah, I mean, that's the profile they needed.
It is. He's
so
20 years old. We'll see how it shakes out.
I think the thing for United that will cause frustration, well, one, credit with the outgoings. They needed to get rid of Rashford after what he said. They did. Anthony... Yeah, get him out on loan.
Looked
fine.
All right in his debut.
Yeah, he did look okay. But the frustration is the Matthias Tell deal. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how that happened, that they let that slip. I mean, did they let it slip, or what was it, a bit of Ange magic? I don't really know.
I don't think he was sold. I mean,
I think
was
he was sold on either of them, and then he was just like, okay, just give me something. So, to lose
semester.
Out on that deal has left a really sour taste in United fans' mouths, which I can kind of understand. But got to be honest, do they need another attacker? I mean,
they need more out of the ones they have.
They need more out of Garnacho, and Ahmad's been great. I'm really suspect about Bruno in this system. I don't think it's working. I think he's not disciplined enough to play in the pivot. He's all over the place. And then as sort of a attacking 10 sort of inside winger, I don't really think he fits that profile either. So Amrun's got a problem on his hands there, I think. But, you know, he's got Garnacho and Ahmad to sort of play in those roles. Xerxes could do it. He's got Højlund up front. I don't want to hear we need another striker. Like, it's you've got two. Like, you've spent a lot. I mean, I don't know. I've said this a bunch on previous episodes. Like, they've spent so much money already. Left back was a position where they had nobody. They got somebody. B.
Maybe even a B plus.
Yeah.
That's with the outgoings. So decent window.
Yeah, outgoings B plus. I'm good with that.
Newcastle are weird, man. I mean, they've clearly been warned of PSR because we all thought they were going to spend like drunken sailors, and they haven't really at all. Jamal Lewis came back from loan. That's it for ingoings. They Lloyd Kelly, the center back, off to Juventus on a loan.
That's so random.
Yeah,
I didn't even know that.
To buy. Yeah. Newcastle, I think I'm going to give them a C plus, or maybe even a C minus, actually, because I think there's a platform there had they decided to invest. Again, I don't know if they can. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
If they decided to invest, it could have bolstered their chances of finishing in the European places. They're still in they could win a cup. They're in the Carabao Cup semis. They're ahead against Arsenal. So maybe you sign a player or two to get you over the line there. They didn't. Again, I don't know if they can, but I'm going to go C minus.
Yeah, they didn't do much, but I'm in the similar camp to, you know, your Brightons and of the world where or whoever we were saying, you know, didn't need to do much. Brentford, it was. I don't think they needed to do much. I think they were having a really good season after a really rocky start. I think the summer I have my eye on more with Newcastle.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they have a good team, man. They don't need to force it.
No. We'll see if they can keep hold of Isak. That's going to be the big question.
Yeah.
All right, Nottingham Forest up next. No one really of any note coming in the door. They tried for Yohan Wissa at a time, and Brentford weren't having any of that.
Yeah.
Decided to cut James Ward-Prowse's loan short, as we discussed briefly before. Couple other loans out the door.
I didn't even know they had Emmanuel Dennis still.
Yeah. They just keep loaning him.
Jeez.
I mean, they didn't really need to do anything.
Yeah, same as Newcastle.
Keep the same formula. I give them a C.
Yeah, it's good.
Southampton, they're right in the thick. I want to say thick. They're kind of not even in the relegation battle. They're already in the championship.
Toast.
Bought in a bunch of guys I've never
heard never
of.
Heard of them. couple free deals, loan, and then whoever that guy is at center back from some French team. I have no idea.
I mean, C minus.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't
needed to bring in somebody, but like they're done.
What's the point of buying? You know, what are you gonna do? Bring in some random championship striker that'll help you get over the? You're not getting over the line.
Yeah.
There's no point in digging yourself into a financial hole. We'll see you in the champ. Thanks for coming.
Thanks a lot.
Dean,
all right.
Whatever.
Yes, Dean. Spurs, they brought in Matheus Tel on loan. We like him. Potential there. Kinski, the keeper, has come in. Vicario has been dealing with some injuries. I think it's a weird buy. like Vicario's good. He's just injured.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think. So to spend another $17 million on a backup keeper, I mean, like, maybe you hope he develops into someone you can maybe have
sell
like a
on.
Tandem. I guess. It's just a bit weird to me.
Yeah.
Spurs fans were desperate for a center back. They brought in Kevin Danso on loan. Looked like he was headed to Wolves. They hijacked that deal, so credit to them for getting a body in the door. They needed someone who can professionally play center back.
And
not
Dragosin's gone down now, too.
Yeah, so they needed that. I'm going to give him a C. I think they could have done more. I think there could have been a better center back out there. They had the money. They bid $60 million for Tell. He didn't want to come permanently. I think that money should have been spent on a center back, but really do.
And they
didn't.
Yeah,
so I'm gonna give him a C.
I would say C as well. I don't think I like Tell, and I think he'll work for Ange, but I don't think it was the priority at all.
Yeah.
I think defense has been the problem.
Surely, yeah. All right, West Ham, my boys. Interesting ones here. I really like the Evan Ferguson signing on loan. It's been a bit of a weird one because he came onto the scene. He was scoring goals for fun. Everyone was like, oh, this is the next number nine. Injuries have kind of hampered him. He hasn't really hit that form that he once had. But he's coming back. He's playing under Graham Potter. West Ham desperately need a striker. Fulkrug's been out. We finally signed someone seemingly under the age of 30 to play striker. It's just a loan. There's no option to buy. So it's really, you know, he's trying to get his footing back. We're trying to, you know, salvage what we can for this season with some injuries. I like it. Ward Prowse coming back on loan. I like Potter fancied him. He wanted him. Cornet we sent back out to Genoa after his loan ended. I'm going to give us a B minus. Yeah. I think it's just above average because I do like the Ferguson deal. I like bringing back Ward Prowse. We've got a good squad. Right now we're dealing with a lot of injuries. I mean, Bowen came back and scored yesterday. Pakatov's going to be on his way back. Unfortunately, Somerville did his hamstring again. Looks like he's going to be out close to 2 months, which isn't great. But Ferguson, I think, is the deal here you like. If you can get him scoring, that could be a really positive loan for us.
Yeah, I like him a lot. I would love to have seen him at Everton. So you needed a striker. You got one. It's on loan. You haven't spent much. You haven't panicked.
No.
And you've got another body midfield with Ward-Prowse coming back. So, yeah, B minus is totally fair, I think.
All right, last and potentially least, although they did spend some cash here, Wolves. Emmanuel Agudu, they brought in a couple guys from Stade Reims in Ligue 1. Midfielder Muatai and Agudu at center back. I mean, they spent $50 million. I couldn't tell you anything about any of these players. So whether that's the move, I mean, we'll figure it out. The new manager seems to have gotten some kind of form. A big win against the Midlands rival, Villa. I'll give them a C plus because they've put some effort forward, maybe even higher.
I would say B. I think B? They got a center back. They got two. So that's what they needed. Their attack's really good. So, yeah, I mean, let's see how they are. I have no idea who any of these guys are, but they got them. So, let's, you know,
we'll keep an eye on Wolves. Maybe they can.
$50 million. I mean, that's pretty heavy for January.
It is.
If you're at the bottom of the table.
I mean, if Wolves go down, I mean, remember where Wolves were just a couple of years ago. If they go down, that's not a great look for the ownership group. And
I think they'll be all right. Actually, I think less. I think the three that came up are, I think they're crap.
The Ipswich are crap. I think Ipswich are closer to Wolves.
Just lost to Southampton. I don't know. They're inconsistent. True. They're too inconsistent. They can't string any results together. They'll get closer than the others, game. Maybe. Leicester, this year's I'm really
Luton.
Not convinced.
This year's Luton. That's the next story.
Yeah, it's sad that, and listen, I got to knock on wood here, but, you know, it's sad that it's this hard to compete coming up from the Championship and the other 17. I mean, I don't know. The Premier League is going to have to take a long, hard look at themselves. If you have the same 17 teams in the league two seasons in a row, like, it's not a great look, but that's a conversation for another day.
All right, that will end things here. That's our transfer review. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.